overlooked or they failed to submit it. This would only apply to people for whom the law said they must provide the DNA sample. And I'm not sure, but I don't know if you were there the following day when we came in with the amendment, because if you'll recall, the original bill just said the court shall order them to provide it. And so now the prosecution has to, the court would look at a motion by the prosecution that identifies, you know, the offender and identifies their offense, the conviction, the date, and then saying that the BCA criminal or a database has been searched and they haven't previously provided it, and that orders, and that can be served by personal service, I believe. And so we don't just have somebody, the police going out to somebody's house or to their work and, you know, taking them in to provide this. They are given service of this notice, and then the court may order them to appear within 30 days. And they also have the opportunity at that point to just do it, or then go to court. And the court at that point, if they end up going to court, may then order the taking of the DNA. But we put them through, I think it's a very respectful process rather than just showing up and demanding the DNA. I know that was a concern in the committee.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Scheiden, you're answering my question, especially regarding the amendment the next day. You used two words in your definition. You in your first description of that amendment, you said the court shall take the sample, and then just as you closed, you said may take the sample. Which one is it?
Mr. Chairman, actually I was referring to the bill in its original form, said the court shall order. That's how the bill started out. A court shall order an offender to provide the DNA sample. We changed that to say that the prosecution has to go to court to show, to ask the court to show, issue an order to show cause why they should have been ordered, or somebody who should have been ordered to submit it did not, should now be required. And I believe that the language now says, let me just make sure. I'm trying to find the May language. 2.2. Oh, I'm on the wrong side of the bill. I'm sorry. Thank you. And I was looking at the amendment, and I'm sorry, but it also says, I think I've not got the right.
Are you okay, Senator?
But I believe then that the court may order it, and we don't say the court shall. We say the court may.
Senator Foley, then we're going to vote on this one. Senator Foley.
It will be brief, Mr. Chairman. I'm concerned about this bill. Basically, there's a potential there for the individual to be taken in custody and never be convicted of a charge or be acquitted of a charge. And that seems to me
an
invasion of their rights, and they shouldn't be able to do that. So I'm voting no on this particular.
Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Could Senator Foley repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Senator Foley, yeah, we should be. She didn't hear the question. Do you want to try it again in shorter version?
What? I didn't offer it as a question. I just offered it as a statement that intend not
was more
to
of a,
vote for this thing.
Okay, I missed that. I guess it was more of a statement than a question. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Scheid, Senator Foley's statement does raise a question in my mind. The question was, can an individual, without being prosecuted, have the state collect a DNA sample for the simple purpose of an arrest or a holding, and would that be a violation of his rights if there was no prosecution or no conviction? Senator Foley believes that that would happen, and that's why he's voting no. And I was wondering if you might be able to clarify that for us.
Mr. Chairman, no, Senator Limmer, this is for only for people who have been convicted.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rise in support of Senator Scheid's bill. What this bill does is serve our law enforcement community to help us with public safety. When there's been a conviction and an offender has not given a DNA sample, but it has completed his or her time, this allows law enforcement to go back to ask that person to give the sample that was missed previously. But there are some protections for the potential offenders that would address Senator Foley's concerns. I raised those same concerns in the Judiciary Committee, and I worked with the prosecutors who asked for this language to put in some of those protections, and we changed the process completely so that now if a prosecutor wants to go and get a DNA sample, he needs to go to the court to explain why it's needed and to set up the identification of who the person is that needs to be sampled. And then the court may grant an order to show cause. An order to show cause then could be served on the individual believed to be needed to give the sample. But the person who is given the order to show cause has the choice to come in and give a sample or to appear in court to explain why it shouldn't apply because there's a mistaken identity or there isn't actually a conviction or it's not the level of crime. So actually, this actually balances the power here, but we want to make sure that someone who was ordered to give a DNA sample and has not given that sample, we want to make sure law enforcement and the prosecutors have an ability to go back and get the sample that that person was ordered to give. These are only for convicted offenders, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Scheid, you may recall during the discussion in Judiciary, I asked the question of whether or not the defense bar had any concerns about the bill. There was no one from the defense bar in the room at the time, and I was wondering if you have heard, we did raise that question publicly, have you heard anything from the defense?
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Limmer, no, I have not. And I know that there's awareness of the legislation, but I've not heard one way or the other.
Further discussion on the bill. Seeing none, Senator Scheid renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3116 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Number 99 on general orders. Senator, Senate File 2364. Excuse me, we're going to go to number 19 on general orders. Senate File 2425. Senator Erickson Ropes. Senator Erickson Ropes. Senate File 2425.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When this body do arise, Senate File 2425 be recommended to pass.
Discussion on your bill, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a bill that simply clarifies that when higher education institutions notify parents by law right now on health issues, that we're clarifying that health issues also include mental health issues. It's everybody believes nowadays, I think, that mental health is health. It shouldn't be viewed any separately. So it's just a clarifying bill, adding language that mental health issues are health issues.
Discussion on Senate File 2425. Seeing none, Senator Erickson Ropes renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2425 be recommended to pass. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Number 32 on general orders, Senate File 2559, Senator Kielash.
Mr. Chair, when this committee do arise, I move that the Senate House File 2559 be recommended to pass.
Okay. Senator Kielash, tell the body what's in the bill.
This bill amends the law enacted last session, giving a borrower the right to obtain a postponement of a foreclosure sale for homestead property with a redemption period of 6 months to include properties with a redemption period of 12 months. Under the current law, agriculture and homestead property has a 12-month redemption period. Section 1 amends the substantive law authorizing the postponement of the sale to include homestead property with a 12-month redemption period. Section 2 amends the affidavit formed for postponement consistent with the amendment in Section 1. And these provisions will be effective 30 days after the date of final enactment and apply to foreclosure sales scheduled to occur after that date. I'll take questions.
Discussion on the bill. Seeing none, Senator Kielash renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2559 be recommended to pass. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on the general orders is number 30 on general orders, Senate File number 2722, Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2722 be recommended to pass.
Senator Skoy on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 2722 deals with interest rates on eminent domain or other property tax court awards. For years prior, this interest rate on these awards was allowed to float. Last year in the public safety bill, in an effort to get at large insurance claims and get those paid quicker, the interest rate was fixed at 10%. Inadvertently, that applied also to these awards, and so this bill allows the interest rate to float for these awards, and I would ask for your support.
Further discussion on Senate File 2722, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Skoy, you're moving the interest rate to 10%, is that correct?
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, Senator Limmer. Last year in the public safety bill, there was a bill that changed the interest rate to 10%, and it inadvertently put the 10% rate on these awards. I'm moving it back to a floating rate, which is in the 3-4% range.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman in this case. Senator Skoy, could you explain why we're moving around with the interest rates? Interest rates are relatively low right now, and I know last year we jumped it up. Now we're coming back down. Why are we moving the rates around at all?
Mr. Chair and Senator Limmer, well, I don't think there was an intent to move the rate last year, and because they didn't intend to, and the way the statute was drafted, they picked these up inadvertently. And so because it wasn't intended and it's a significant cost on our local governments, I'm undoing that and putting it back to the way it was years previously.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce the A50 amendment.
Secretary will report the Limmer A50 amendment.
Senator Limmer moves to amend Senate File 2722 as follows. Page 2 after line 25, insert. This is amendment A50.
Senator Limmer on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Skoy, I'm sorry that I didn't have an opportunity to present this to you for your consideration prior to the discussion today. As you look at the amendment, well, let me back up. Your bill is raising a little consternation by certain business groups right now, and they've requested that this amendment be introduced. This would bring it back to before we changed anything, I believe, and And I was wondering what your comments would be if we did this. Is this close? Is this doing any damage to your bill right now?
Senator Scoy.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Limmer, I think that Senator Bach was the author of this bill last year, and my recollection of the debate is that there are these relatively large insurance settlement claims that are not being paid off in a timely manner. And I think his effort was to raise the interest rate on those to get them paid off in a more timely manner. And it appears to me that you're trying to undo that, and I would oppose that effort, as I wasn't the author of the bill, and I thought I'd just leave that part of it alone. But for local governments, I think we should reduce the interest rate.
Mr. Chair, this amendment would bring this down, I believe, to a 4% rate, which originally was the law before it was changed around in the last couple of years. And it doesn't specify it between $50,000 over or under that dollar amount. Right now, interest rates are pretty close to 4% when it comes to long-term or even short-term rates. And I think that 4% is a realistic rate. Anything higher than that or could float up to that, I think we are getting a little beyond ourselves, and especially in light of these uncertain economic times.
We're on the Limmer Amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye. There'll be a roll call. Secretary, take the roll on the Limmer A50 Amendment.
Sparky.
All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary, close the roll. 21 ayes and 30 nays. The amendment is not adopted. The last order of business, I believe, on general orders. Oh, that was the only amendment. Okay. Excuse me. I've got jumped ahead of myself. Senator Scoy renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2722 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Number 83 on general orders, Senate File 2825, Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 2825 be recommended to pass.
Senator Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill was brought to me by the Minnesota Insurance and Financial Services Council. It is comprised of a number of necessary updates to Minnesota insurance laws. The industry worked closely with the Department of Commerce on the bill. It has broad-based support, and I would urge members' support.
Further discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Corrine.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could we have a little bit more explanation on that? I guess I didn't quite understand that.
Read the bill.
Mr.
Absentees.
Chairman, you did think it. I thought for a second it was Senator Tomasoni, but I had to look up.
Well, these guys are learning how to mumble pretty well, which is pretty good. Tomasoni, did you want to mumble?
It's becoming an art, Mr. President.
Same to you. Senator Sparks renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2825 be recommended to pass. All those in favor? Signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pappas, did you want to do yours?
today?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2364 be recommended to pass.
Okay. Senator Pappas, discussion of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This is raising the revenue bond limit for our private colleges from we have a subsidized bond program specifically for private colleges run by the Minnesota Higher Education Facilities Authority, and this is a good time to borrow and build, as we all know, so we're raising their limit from $950 million to $1.3 billion. And I appreciate your support. There's no controversy with this whatsoever.
Senator Lieber on this non-controversial bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Lieber.
Mr. Chair, as one great Republican once said, trust but verify. And would Senator Pappas answer a question for me?
We'll answer a question, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Pappas, does this do anything? Would it affect our bond rating in any way by raising the bond limit?
Senator Pappas.
These are tax-exempt revenue bonds, so it doesn't have anything to do with the bonds that the state issues.
Senator Pappas renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2364 be recommended to pass. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Without objection, under motions. Oh, excuse me, a little too quick again. Senator Pogemiller,
Mr.
Yeah.
Chairman, I move that the committee do now rise and report.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the report of the committee of the whole, as kept by the secretary, be now adopted.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Remaining under motions, there's an addendum, should be on your desk. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House file number 1217, 2823, 3187, 2616, 2828, 2949, 3027, 3061, 2956, 3048, 3172, 3350, 3060, 3139, 3067, 3139, 3362, 3259, 3318, 3391, and 3336. Signed, Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Okay, the next order is first reading of House bills. House file 3048 will be changed from the general orders to the calendar. Likewise, House file 3172 from the comparison of the general orders is on the calendar. So, first reading of House bills. I think that completes the work at the desk, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, good work the last couple of days.
Senator Pogemiller, we did, I believe, 41 bills yesterday and 42 today. So that's okay. Good work, people.
So, members, the plan will be on tomorrow we're going to have just a very brief session at 9:30 to just take the House committee so we can have the House bills put into the Senate jackets. So it'll be 5 minutes. We need 34 people here to get a quorum. And we're trying to check. I think we're pretty close to that. We want to take this con- oh. So we'll look at that. Apparently there might be a conference committee report to do right now, but So we're just double-checking to make sure we have 34 votes tomorrow. We don't need any votes. We just need 34 people to sign in. And then we will be able to make sure that the House bills that have come over are put into the Senate jackets. And then on Monday, we will have we'll come in at 8:30 and process the calendar, which will have 120 or some votes, so members will want to make sure they review all of those things that have been on the calendar this week. And then we will take up the conference committee report on the Cohen bill, and then I believe the jobs bill, the one that Senator Bach has been working on in the tax committee. Mr. President, do we have a conference
committee? Messages from the House.
Message from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File 3108 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File 3108, a bill for an act relating to elections, changing and clarifying certain provisions. House File 3108 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Sieben.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 3108 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
Okay. Senator Sieben, tell the Senate what changes took place at the conference committee.
Mr. Please. President and members, there is a minor change. When the bill passed the Senate, just to remind members, this is the Elections Administration bill. It passed the Senate unanimously. There were 12 House members who voted against it. And in subsequent conversations, there was one minor change that they did want that relates to ballot reconciliation that needs to occur within each precinct. And I'm happy to yield to Senator Gerlach if you'd like to explain that change more. He also signed the conference committee report along with Senator Rest.
Senator Gerlach, you can.
Thank you, Mr. President. And very briefly, members, I was on the conference committee and agree that the change made in the bill improves it, and I would encourage our members to vote in favor of the conference report.
Senator Sieben renews her motion to adopt the conference committee and that bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 3108, a bill for an act relating to elections, changing and clarifying certain provisions.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, declare to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 50 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. I'm going to start announcing the excuses because it might take about 15 minutes, but I'm not going to say senator in front of everyone. Jungbauer, Bonifall, Day, Rosen, 1:30 to 3:50, Bach from 12:30 to 2:15, Dahl from 12:30 to 1:30, Gimsey from 1:45 to 2:05, Hand from 2:20 to 4:20, Scheid from 3 to 5:10, Salzman from 3 to 4, Dibble from 3:30 to the end, Saksok from 4 o'clock to the end, Clark from 1:30 to 4:30, Kubley from 4:10 to the end, Michelle, 2:50 to 4:15. Anderson, 12:30 to 4:30. And from 5 to 6. Jen Olson, from 4 to 4:45. And at 5:45 to the end. Parasol, from 4 to 4:45. Rosen, from 1:30 to 3:50. And Rosen, from 5 o'clock to the end. Rest, from 4:05 to the end. Sharon, from 5:20 to the end. Mimois, from 5:30 to the end. And Lance, from 5:40 to the end. Senator Sedgham, did you...
Mr. President, for the benefit of Senate Republicans, our staff is going to be available at 7:30 on Monday morning to go over the events of the 7 a.m. All right. It's the Republican way, 7 o'clock. so 7 o'clock in our conference room to go over the events of Monday and get squared away from the standpoint of agenda and where we might stand on different bills. Thanks.
Senator Stump, do you have an announcement?
Mr. Chairman, the E-12 Education Budget and Policy Committee will meet right after we adjourn here in room 112.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President, the Public Safety Budget Division will meet tomorrow at 11 in room 15.
Further announcement, Senator Betzold.
Mr. President, the State Government Budget Division also will meet tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. in room 123.
Thank you.
Further announcements of Senate interest. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, members, the desk informs me that after our brief session at 9:30 in the morning, they will have enough so that hopefully about an hour after that, maybe a couple hours after that, the calendar would be printed for Monday. So it'd be online. So if you look tomorrow afternoon, the calendar for Monday will be printed out so you'll know all the bills that are there. A new general orders, too, but I don't think we're going to go on general orders on Monday. So and Monday, 8:30, for those of you who are leaving today, Monday at 8:30 session would start, 8:30 a.m. So, Mr. President, I move that the Senate adjourn till Friday, March 26th, 9:30 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn, 9:30 Monday. All those in favor? 9:30 tomorrow. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.